Welcome back to the American Journal. We have some breaking news to bring you as we kick off the third hour of the show. We just got an update in regards to the murder of Rob Reiner. As many of you guys know, he's the actor, producer, and director. Sadly, both him and his wife were killed inside of their Brentwood home in California. It sounds like yesterday they did send the fire department over there. It looks like their daughter discovered their bodies, and it was confirmed that both Rob and his wife were murdered. Now, according to the very latest report, their son, Nick, has been taken into custody. Now, they're also reporting that Rob was stabbed to death. According to Fox News, the son, Nick, is being held on a $4 million bond right now. So that is what's going on right now. It looks like, according to LAPD, that he has been taken into custody following the deaths of both of his parents, who were brutally, brutally murdered inside of their home. Now, sadly, folks, the president right now has used this as an opportunity, and I don't think we should, but he's been using this as an opportunity to remind us that obviously Rob was not a supporter of President Trump, and we all know that. We all know that he was a crazy liberal. But sadly, just hours after he was brutally murdered inside of his home, President Trump decided to take this moment to remind us that he was a tortured and struggling, but once a very talented movie director and comedy star, and that he passed away. He goes on to call out his Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. And then he goes on to just criticizing him for just being critical of the Trump administration. He concludes this tweet, which I think is completely inappropriate, by praising, obviously, the golden age of America, which is upon us, and then say, may Rob and Michelle rest in peace. Now, folks, Rob Reiner, obviously a crazy liberal and obviously saying some things that I strongly disagree with, but he does not deserve to get murdered. And according to reports, having his throat slit. None of these people deserve that. I do not believe just because I politically disagree with you that you deserve to have that type of brutal murder taken upon you. And especially when it's at your son, who apparently, according to reports, struggles with drug addiction. What that sounds like to me is two parents who truly did care for their son and wanted the best for him and were trying to fight. You know, so many of us know someone struggling with a drug addiction, and we know about that fight when you're trying to save someone that you dearly love from addiction. You worry significantly. And Rob Reiner, although we disagree with his politics, we'll play clip 18 for you because it's a reminder that even though we disagree with him politically, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, he stood strongly against that. Take a listen.
You first heard about the murder of Charlie Kirk. What was your immediate gut reaction to it?
Well, horror. Absolute horror. And I unfortunately saw the video of it, and it's beyond belief what happened to him, and that should never happen to anybody. I don't care what your political beliefs are. That's not acceptable. That's not a solution to solving problems. And I felt like what his wife said at the service that the memorial they had was exactly right. And totally, I believe, you know, I'm Jewish, but I believe in the teachings of Jesus, and I believe in doing to others, and I believe in forgiveness. And what she said to me was beautiful and absolutely, you know, she forgave his assassin. And I think that is admirable.
Now, obviously, that is something that we should all remember, is how Rob treated the Kirk family after the brutal assassination of Charlie Kirk. We should have and extend that level of just humanity and sympathies towards his family as they have to deal with this, because no one deserves to die, specifically when you're trying to save your son from drug addiction, regardless of their political affiliation or their personal political beliefs. I strongly believe that we could all extend some type of kindness to their family right now. We could pray for their family, because obviously this is very, very devastating news for them. All right, folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the third hour of the show, we're going to be taking your calls as well, the second half. So if you'd like to get on the hold lines right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls, so give us a ring.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. It was a rough weekend. Very, very sad news cycle, of course. We've been covering all the stories that we want to make sure you know. The very latest on the things that the mainstream media won't tell you about, or the governments that have allowed Islamic terrorists into their country. They're trying their very best to suppress critical pieces of information, and they don't want the people to know that they failed. Specifically in Australia, of course. We've been detailing that for you over the last 2 hours. And so we're getting ready to dive into some more headlines that I want to make sure you guys know about so they didn't miss the news cycle, of course, because so much was going on, of course. All right, let me give you guys a reminder. In this hour, we're going to be taking your calls. So in about, 25 minutes, we'll be jumping to the phone line. So if you'd like to join the show, maybe give your opinion, maybe you disagree with me on a topic we've discussed thus far, or you agree and want to add a little bit more to the discussion, call us right now, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We will be taking your calls in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I wanted to give you this update. I saw a report that was released. It was published by Fox, and it had me kind of scratching my head a little bit because I was deeply, deeply concerned. They're claiming that DHS is not arresting, and I misspelled, this was a typo. It was a very busy weekend for me. I was on the run. But in a tweet, I did call out how there was a report put out by Fox. And according to them, DHS is not going to be focusing on just kind of average illegal aliens, that they're specifically going after those with serious offenses due to the negative polling on ICE raids. Now, again, that was due to a Fox News report that was circulating over the weekend. So I reached out to DHS to hear from them directly. What are you guys doing over there? I wanted to know what's going on. Well, they responded to me by saying, we have always been going after the worst of the worst first. There are no operational changes to announce. So kind of tells you that, yeah, there's a little bit of truth here. We'll have to wait to see the arrest numbers to see if they have stopped or they're no longer arresting. I should say those who have less severe offenses. Now, I know that they have been focused on obviously going after the most severe threats. That's no surprise, of course. So we've been focused on that. But again, if you're an illegal alien, you are here because you committed a crime. So it's whether or not they're going to go after those and deem those who are less severe than the others. Well, we'll have to wait and see when the data comes out on that, of course. I wanted to bring you a really just a sad update from a personal standpoint. As many of you guys know, I've grown to just love FBI whistleblower Steve Friend as a friend, obviously. He is a good human being, a great person, a patriot who stepped into the public space, the media world, because he saw something within the Biden regime that he deemed as unconstitutional violation of our rights. And he wanted to blow the whistle on it. And he did this country a great service by doing just that. I've been an ally to Steve Friend over the years and made sure that this current administration did Steve right. And they did. They brought him back in. They were, they did pay him out what was due after he did quit the agency. But sadly, we just got news and, it truly is devastating. Steve is, again, a patriot. He has a young family. And this is really just sad news. The former FBI agent, again, who was suspended and then resigned from the FBI back when the Biden regime was running the show. Well, apparently he has just been fired because Director Patel deems comments that he made on ex-FBI agent Kyle Serafin, who's also another whistleblower, show as a threat. And so Steve was just recently terminated. As many of you guys know, a friend who was someone who just wanted to go after pedophiles and arrest them was taken off of those duties and was shifted to go after J6ers. And that's when he spoke out, because his loyalty is to the U.S. Constitution, not the bureaucrats who are trying to use the FBI as their personal police force. Well, sadly, friend was then pushed out of the agency by a suspension. And then obviously you need to bring an income, so you got to leave. And so Steve, in order to take a pay job, had to resign from the FBI. And the news itself is devastating, obviously, but it highlights the fact that this FBI does not like criticism. Doesn't like criticism. You know, we've seen the reports, Miranda Devine doing an incredible job at just that, specifically going out there and calling out both the deputy director and the director of the FBI for coordinating people inside, saying that they just spend too much time on social media and they care too much what's online. Well, obviously, this is true. This is true. And Battelle signing the letter that terminated Steve Friend deemed what Steve Friend said as a threat and obviously leaked it over to the New York Post first, because he knew probably that Miranda Devine was going to get the story first, and so he gave it to someone else on her team. And, you know, that's that. So, again, it's very, very disappointing. I feel like most of these things can be resolved by having simple discussions. Obviously, Steve feeling like he's been wronged. He's been wronged on many levels. Just devastating to see Steve Friend, a great human being, a great patriot to this country, and to see this agency fire Steve is absolutely, absolutely devastating. One of the reasons why they didn't like him, though, is because he was talking about the J6 pipe bomber. Now, this one's going to get interesting. Folks, as many of you guys know, we did have the J6 chairman of that SLOC committee, Barry Loudermilk, on the program last week. And I asked him about surveillance footage regarding that J6 pipe bomber. And there's about 8 hours that's been clipped out and is MIA. It's across several cameras, 3 to 4. We just can't find 8 hours worth of footage. Now, I asked him about that. We'll play that clip in case you missed that. But apparently now he goes on Benny Johnson and he says this in clip 9. Take a listen.
One of the things that has raised our eyebrows is as we go and we look for video on January 6th, because we want early morning video on January 6th to see, did anybody go back to these locations?
Of course.
Unfortunately, that video apparently doesn't exist anymore. We do have the January 5th video, but we've been told that no one ever preserved January 6th. So that does raise our eyebrows a bit.
It doesn't just raise your eyebrows, it raises mine. Because previously we had asked the chairman this question in clip 10. Take a listen. Our researchers have found there's about 8 hours missing currently, and that's based on 3 to 4 different cameras that they're looking for. It seems as if the footage is kind of just missing, and the time, it's just like kind of clipped out, it feels like. But we don't want to make those accusations because we don't know if this is accidental or anything. Are you guys working on possibly getting that footage and making it public?
We are. We're looking at all the camera angles that were there. I mean, we had over like 40,000 of hours of video footage that we released in the previous Congress. And we're looking to, as we're finding out of different camera angles, also the dates that we had access to. We didn't have all of the 5th in the previous Congress, and we're weekly requesting more and more as we find out. So we are looking for more video footage. You know, anything that the Capitol Police have, they have been making available to us. So I think they're working in a good faith effort. Let me say this. The rank and file officers of the Capitol Police, for the most part, do a wonderful job. And they are very supportive of what we're doing, because those guys, they're very disappointed in what happened on January 6th. And I think they know it's a reflection on them.
Now, it looks like after we had our discussion, the chairman probably went looking for that footage. And it sounds like to me, the footage was MIA. The footage is MIA. So now I'd like to follow up, and we will do just that, to figure out what's going on here. Does our government now plan on going after to see who deleted that footage? I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? You see footage of a pipe bomb and you delete it? Well, see, this is the problem. This is what adds to the conspiracies. That's why people don't trust their government, because our government continuously lies to us. You know, we're supposed to believe that they caught the suspect involved in the J6 pipe bombing. That's very hard to believe, given the fact that all the evidence that they claim that they have has not yet been put out there. We asked time and time again for more evidence, and sadly, they don't give us the evidence. They just tell us, oh yeah, we've pinned his phone to a couple locations about a quarter of a mile from the drop spot, so we figured it's probably him. He bought a couple of things about a year before the pipe bombs were even laid down, but it's him. We got the guy. Again, the suspect in this case is someone who we've been told repeatedly by his family has developmental problems. He's a fan of My Little Pony. So it's really hard to wrap my mind around it. No, it's not. I think they're lying to us. I think they're flat out lying to us. I think our government is full of it. I think it's very obvious now that we could say with certainty, now that we know that the footage is MIA, deleted, that they did this intentionally. Probably whoever laid down those pipe bombs, we've been saying it for a while now, but now we could say it with a lot of confidence, is likely someone who was working for the government. This was a government operation. There's no reason why that footage would have not been saved, given the fact that, well, they almost killed their vice president, Kamala Harris, during that. So again, it's just more garbage that they're going to continue to try to feed us, whether you accept it or not, which we don't. I don't. But it's just sickening to sit here and see that the update is that the footage is MIA. It's gone, deleted. Can't find it. Criminal charges in a fair society would follow. But, I mean, the DOJ just has so much on their desk these days. All these investigations going on. Nothing of substance, of course. And when they do bring a criminal prosecution to the table, it's so weak that two grand juries can't even indict the individual. Talking about Tish James, of course. James Comey, they get him on the simplest charge out of all the egregious crimes we've known that he allegedly committed. They just don't get him on anything. It's easier just to take the simple way out and just go, eh. We're just going to keep investigating these crimes. And we'll throw you a little bone every now and then. We'll give you lying to Congress when we know that they've committed other atrocities. I'm so tired of sitting here. I'm going to keep saying it, telling you all about all the garbage that was going on under the Obama-Biden regime. And then the people who are in charge now just don't have the cojones to go after these people. They're probably waiting till after midterms because they think it might not be popular. That's probably what they're doing right now, if they're doing anything. That's actually me being optimistic that they're actually doing something. You got to wait till midterms. So this might not go over well for Republicans. The same Republicans who have done absolutely nothing to codify President Trump's executive orders, the 200 plus executive orders he signed. We've gotten, what, maybe less than a dozen signed into law. But we're supposed to just accept these little breadcrumbs they push our way and pretend like this is acceptable. I want to turn to another story, this one regarding the DOJ. The DOJ filed a lawsuit in Atlanta against Fulton County, specifically, obviously, the clerk of courts. This is all about the 2020 election, including what they're seeking specifically. Is all used voided ballots, ballot stubs, absentee ballots, signature envelopes, and the corresponding digital files. Wonder what they're looking for there. You see, Fulton County doesn't like it when you criticize their elections. In fact, they'll cook up a RICO case against you if you do just that. But it looks like the DOJ is alleging that there was a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1960, which requires these county clerks to retain these federal election records. And since Fulton County's not turning it over, it's very, very likely that they, in fact, probably don't even have it. Again, if you're going to steal election, you're probably going to want to mass delete all the evidence, of course. And given the fact that Fannie Willis has, well, she's done some questionable things over the last few years that have been called out into the public sphere, it's very, very likely that, yes, you would mass delete anything that would potentially be incriminating. But President Trump in clip 11 seems to think that he has a ton of evidence coming our way soon that the 2020 election was stolen. Take a listen.
That's all they're good at cheating in elections. Very good at cheating. They're professionals at cheating because we won in 2016 by a lot. The election was rigged in 2020. We have all the ammunition, all the stuff, and you'll see it come out. It's coming out in truckloads.
Well, we'll be waiting because we'd love to see some of that evidence. It's been long overdue, folks, long overdue. Some people's lives have been ruined, whether it was the prosecutions, the lawsuits, everything. And then given the fact that Republicans haven't done anything as they control three branches of government, the president obviously advocating for safer and secure elections. We're not seeing much come out of the House or the Senate to back up the president's calls. So again, as we sit back and watch, we have Republicans who are just going to run on the promise, well, we need you to vote us back in so that we could do all these great things for you. And the president not really applying enough pressure for House Republicans to prioritize all of this. They did, though, to give them credit, condemn socialism in the House. I mean, that was a top priority. It's like a participation award. They're just running out the clock, of course, and they're hoping that you're just dumb enough to follow the trail of breadcrumbs they're leaving for you to midterms. Because these scumbags are doing absolutely nothing to further President Trump's agenda. And there were some great executive orders that he did put up. But then also, they just fail to do what the American people want them to do. Like securing our elections, which some would say is a top priority if you truly did sit back and watch what happened in 2020 and wonder, well, how many water pipes can actually break? Were those people ever held accountable? No. No, they weren't. In fact, many were paid very hefty prices, given money, millions and millions of dollars. Well, that's the difference between the left and the right. The left seems to have a bit of a fight in them, and the right just buys time at best. And we've done nothing to correct these issues. We continue to sit here and kick the can down the road. And when you ask for things, when you demand things, they just say, yeah, vote for us in the next midterm. We'll get it done then. It's all garbage. It's all garbage. And when I say that all of these states, Republicans just fail to do the basics, Democrats do pull together on a lot of key issues on their side of the aisle. Those key issues being bringing in people who cannot contribute to our society, who are leeches to our system. They love to do just that. And so when President Trump decided to implement a policy where it's going to cost those H-1B visas, those requesting those visas, $100,000, which is supposed to obviously give Americans the advantage by charging these employers who are looking to outsource these jobs to foreigners. Well, 20 states are now suing President Trump over that $100,000 fee. Many of you guys know President Trump implemented just that in September. We got the very latest story written by Raw Egg Nationalist up right now on Infowars.com. But in it, he specifically details how they are trying to use that to stop President Trump from importing foreign labor. As many of you guys know, this was the president's way of pushing back on the systematic abuse. And H-1B visas were obviously supposed to be used for high-skilled workers, but they have not been. They've been abused. They're cheaper labor. And if you live in certain cities in Texas, you see it firsthand. It's not going to the best and the brightest. It's going to the cheapest, those who would sit there and slave away for their employers out of fear of being deported if they get fired. And so since the president is trying to push back on that a bit, I mean, I just would call for the end of H-1B visas, but he's a businessman, probably likes a little bit of his H-1B visa workers. Well, unfortunately for the rest of us, he's still looking to carry it out. And Democrats still aren't even happy about that. I would call just a completely nuke it, but those on the left want more. All right, let's go to this groundbreaking new study coming out from Stanford. All right, folks, I'm sure you didn't hear this one before. Stanford Medicine, well, their new study shows that the mRNA COVID jabs can cause heart issues. Oh, man. Here you go. The investigators have unearthed. I mean, this is like literally written in the article. Don't think I'm trying to sell you on this one. They're claiming that the mRNA jabs have created heart damage in some young men. Florida told you this years ago, the Florida government saying, yeah, this is causing heart issues in young men. We should probably put a warning on this. Their surgeon general over there, and he was attacked for doing just that. But of course, now Stanford coming forward, it's like, oh yeah, there is a consistency here that we are finding. Trying to find, there was an exact stat that I saw this morning. I was reading through the article and it was just mind-blowing. Okay, so the vaccine, the heart issues that are occurring, well, apparently, according to the study, it's occurring in one in every 140,000 vaccines after a first dose, and then rises one in 32,000 after you get the second dose. Obviously, as many of you guys know, RFK Jr. now wanting to put a label on these things, but the damage is done. I mean, think of all the young men's lives you've ruined who now have heart conditions. Many won't even be attributed to the vaccines or the jabs, I should say, because, well, so many doctors fear putting out that VAERS report. They don't want to report these things. I know this personally. I've seen family members who have been injured by these vaccines, and when we advocate for them to fill out the VAERS report, the doctors refuse to do just that. They don't want to blame these jabs because these are supposed to be the things that was going to save us. And they still are claiming that too with a straight face. They'll still tell you that these COVID jabs, once they rolled them out, all of a sudden the COVID numbers just dropped drastically. Not the fact that most Americans actually just gain natural immunity after contracting COVID. They can't credit natural immunity because that's what they were up against the whole time. The fact that all of us were able to, well, most of us, if you didn't have a medical issue prior, were able to work naturally to not have these issues. To not have to. I mean, I got COVID once. And the only reason I know I have it is because I lost my taste. I've never lost taste. And the only reason why I know I have it is because I took ivermectin and immediately went away. And they didn't want you taking ivermectin. In fact, I was actually one of the people who did participate in one of the studies that was being done in South Florida during all of this. And I was working for a corporate media outlet at the time. And I remember one of the doctors we had on actually said, this was very, very early on. And he was Australian. He said, oh, Brianna, ivermectin is going to save us. And I said, ah, I don't know what ivermectin is, sir. And then he kept just telling me, ivermectin will save us from this pandemic. So when I was eating a buffalo wing and it wasn't spicy, I said, oh, this is going to be a bad one. And I called this doctor. And then he connected me to the folks doing the study, and I got myself some ivermectin. It's very unfortunate, though, that for so many people out there, our government withheld them from getting access to something as simple as ivermectin. You were labeled a conspiracy theorist. I was one of the very first people to actually take ivermectin for COVID-19. And I only had to take a test, too, so I could get the ivermectin for the study because they had to verify it beforehand. But, you know, Fox every day, in order to walk into their office, they wanted me as an unvaccinated employee to go upstairs and get something shoved up my nose to make sure I didn't have COVID. Now, I cheated the system, got a screenshot from somebody else who had to do it every day and never had to get tested. But that was the kind of craziness that was going on all around the world. And so-called conservative media outlets participated in the propaganda machine. All right, folks, we got more coming your way in just a bit. We're taking your calls. Give us a call if you'd like to jump on the line, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. In the meantime, it's the last day to get your Christmas orders in. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, 40% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. When I asked Grok about the benefits of creatine, this is what Grok said at the end. Bottom line, creatine is one of the few supplements that consistently lives up to the hype for strength, power, muscle growth, brain function. If you lift weights or do any explosive sport, it's basically a no-brainer. But speaking of no-brainer, when you really study creatine, it's what it does for the brain and everything else in the body. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Now, you can front load with 20 milligrams for a week or so is what the experts and doctors and people recommend and fitness people. But after that, you just take one a day. And most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is it's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. And our incredible creatine gummies come in 2 flavors, sour apple and blue raspberry. Our sponsor, Bigly, went through dozens and dozens of different formulations with top formulators, and this is hands down absolutely delicious. Now, these taste so good, you're going to have to hide them from your children. But if gummies aren't the thing for you, we've got the amazing pure powder. It's all available again right now at thealexshowstore.com for up to 40% off. Again, this is creatine monohydrate. Look it up. It's the gold standard. And it is so good for your body. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
More of your tax dollars. Look at me, I am your president now.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. I see we have a lot of people on hold right now. So I'm going to do my very best to get down the list and to get everyone on. This is a longer list than normal, so we're going to keep everyone as close to just a couple of minutes as possible so we make sure we get to all the callers on hold right now. We are keeping our eye, though, on the Vatican right now. They are doing a Christmas lighting ceremony. And we could all use some holiday cheer these days because it's been a very sad news cycle. So we'll be just kind of throwing in little video bits here and there as it goes on over at the Vatican, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. But let's start things off first with Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about this acid attack in Savannah, Georgia. And I just wanted to say, let's stop being politically correct. We always call them Muslims. We have an Arab and North African terrorist problem, and this woman having acid thrown in her face is indicative of a Muslim attacks and how they abuse women and aren't covered up. And obviously, she was a beautiful young woman. But we have let's stop calling them Muslims; they're Arabs. That is the center of the problem. But anyway, the local media is lying by omission by not saying he's a Muslim or a North African, because I can tell by looking at him that he looks like a Somalian or North African. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Bart, well, thank you for calling. Yeah, I mean, I tried to get a good look at him. I could just tell that he's black and darker in skin tone. I have not been able to kind of see that. I you know, hey, listen, it does exactly like you say, that this is something commonly done in their country, is, you know, these acid attacks. And looking at her, she's absolutely a beautiful woman, someone who has been described as dedicated to a church and has actually helped homeless people quite often. So she's very charitable. And so it's absolutely devastating to see, Bart. And I would agree with you. You know, once we get more information on this, and hopefully there's an arrest soon, because this type of animal should not be on the streets, I will bring you the very latest. We won't shy away from the names either, because, you know, we don't back down here on that front. But Bart, you're absolutely correct. And being that you're in Georgia, you know better than anyone. Georgia's also been infiltrated by these individuals as well. So yes, yeah, you might be onto something. Although the suspect apparently is still at large, no arrests have been made. I do hope that they are able to quickly arrest this individual. So Bart, thank you for calling. All right, let's get to Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, good. I survived the minus 20 degree weather for the last 2 days. So that's you're brutal. Lucky to get to talk to me. I almost froze, but I just cranked up the heat, made sure it's 75 in the house. It was a little cold. Brianna, I want to hear more of your callers, but here's the thing. I'm going to talk to you about censorship. This is all about censorship. And even the last guy, what a great caller. The acid attack is censorship. It's about control. Okay. Here's what's really ticking me off about watching all this stuff over the weekend. This is like unfolding. I knew all the answers right before. As I'm watching it, okay, you see the thing in Australia. Okay, they're going to say Iran did it. The girl in the school, was she targeted? Looks like she's targeted. Because obviously the Australia thing, that's targeted. It's usually these things are targeted. Looks like that girl was targeted.
We're talking about Brown University, right, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Jolani thing. These things are all preventable. These things are all preventable. Look at the DEI going on over there. When you watch the first press conference mm-hmm. with the school, you're looking, oh, my God, the round glasses. Then you look at Australia, the guy, round glasses. Okay, it's a giveaway. This is all contrived. This is, and it's about killing us now.
Yeah.
We have to face the fact. Everybody on Twitter, oh, I'm going to go get a gun. Girls are showing. Look what I got for Hanukkah. Exactly. We've got to take control. There's so much I could go through. I want to get to other callers, but people have to realize this is about the censorship. Everything involved here is about censorship. Look at Australia, too. Oh, first thing, what are they going to do? We knew it. Oh, too many guns. Where you're the people, you just gave the jihadis the guns in a place where people can't have guns. This is contrived. It's a setup because they know when they give them the guns, it's just a matter of time before the jihadis use them just like this. Then they can take more of your... I'm going to leave you with this, the bologna sausage analogy of censorship. It comes from Ben Stein. I didn't make this up. Imagine you have a big bologna sausage, and that's your rights, okay? You're at the deli. Here's a big, brand-new bologna sausage. Now, when you he's like, hey, how thick do you want it sliced? Do you want it thick, medium, thin? You want it shaved, whatever? What they're doing, that's our rights. They shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it, shave it. Oh, you don't notice much gone. Oh, I still have a lot of my rights left. Shave it, shave it, shave it. Oh, it's still have a lot. Next thing you know, when that bologna sausage is gone, it's gone. That's what they're doing. Thank you for taking my call.
Bill, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. And yeah, you know, maybe if Australia wants to really crunch down on these gun-related issues, maybe just restrict gun rights or because they don't think it's a right, gun laws for foreigners. Maybe foreigners shouldn't get access to guns if they've been importing them, especially from countries that are known to have ties to terrorism. So yeah, Bill, I think we're onto something here. Thank you for calling. As always, I appreciate your time. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Tim.
It's a history flashback here from 10 years ago, mm-hmm. December 2nd, 2015, and here was your headline. Radical Islamist couple murder 14 in San Bernardino mass shooting. And they injured 22 others. They were at a Christmas party for a place that they worked. They just decided they would, you know, put a bomb in a backpack and leave it there. And he's trying to set it off with his cell phone after they left and all this. But this was the worst terror attack on American soil since September 11th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And these were both, you know, Pakistani folks or whatever. And she had been going, you know, back and forth to Saudi Arabia and just on and on. But the point is, they were both you know, radicalized and devout, you know, Muslims and so forth. But, you know, our president, Obama, said he would fundamentally change America. And at the same time, it's alleged he was having meetings with the Muslim Brotherhood at the White House. And now, you know, we somehow magically imported, you know, 180 countries worth of people in a 4-year period of time to the tune of tens of millions, including millions of known gotaways, and God only knows how many unknown gotaways there are. And it just goes to show just how much mess a couple of folks could make.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Tim, you're spot on with all of this. It's so frustrating to see play out. And it's time and time again, we hear the same narrative over and over again. And they're even trying to suppress some of it, actually. And since we're on the topic of terrorism, we've got to feed up. I'll let you guys know when we could go straight to it. But it looks like the FBI is going to be holding a press conference at any second now over in Southern California, like I detailed to you, Tim. Looks like we have it now. We'll get to that right now. But it looks like they're going to detail how they apparently foiled a terror attack that was supposed to happen on New Year's Eve in L.A. Take a listen.
Threats and violence designed to silence opposing speech, limit political activity, and direct policy outcomes, and prevent the proper functioning of a democratic society. In direct response to the president's order, the attorney general issued a memo to our offices implementing and mobilizing federal law enforcement to prioritize and counter domestic terrorism and political violence investigations. As a result of those directives, we built this case. Both my office and the FBI have invested substantial resources into investigating and charging these organizations. And if anyone does not believe that members of these groups are organized, sophisticated, and extremely violent, let me tell you about the plot in this case. The four defendants are Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. The pictures, I think we have them somewhere. We'll put them up here. Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. Zachary Aaron Page, 32. Dante Gaffield, 24. And Tina Lay, 41. Each from the Los Angeles area. Each is charged with conspiracy and possession of an unregistered destructive device in violation of Title 26, United States Code Section 5861D. We intend to file additional charges in the coming weeks as we finish reviewing the evidence. The defendants are all radical anti-government members of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which, according to their own social media, is an anti-capitalist, anti-government movement that calls for their associates to rise up and fight back against capitalism. One of the leaders of the organization's charged today was also a member of the Order of the Black Lotus. Carol described this group to her co-conspirators as everything radical. As detailed in the federal complaint, which we will now make public, in November 2025, Defendant Carol created a detailed bombing plot to use explosive devices to attack five or more locations across Southern California on this upcoming New Year's Eve. Carol and her co-defendant, Zachary Page, led the effort to obtain and build the bombs and to recruit others to join in their plot. Carol's bomb plot was explicit. It included a step-by-step instructions to build IEDs or improvised explosive devices and listed multiple targets across Orange County and Los Angeles. Carol also made clear her desires. She said, quote, "What we are doing will be considered a terrorist act." Carol and Page also discussed plans for follow-up attacks after their bombings, which included plans to target ICE agents and vehicles with pipe bombs. Carol stated that those plans would, quote, "take some of them out and scare the rest." Throughout early December, the co-conspirators discussed their plans during an in-person meeting in Los Angeles and through an encrypted messaging application. As part of the plan, the four defendants plan to build test bombs in the Mojave Desert. You're going to hear more details about the bombs they intended to build and how the operation went down in the desert here shortly from the FBI assistant director in charge. In preparation for the plan, the co-conspirators purchased multiple pieces of bomb-making materials and discussed their travel plans to the desert. Last Friday, December 12th, the defendants took a significant step to carry out their plans. They traveled to the remote campsite, which you're going to see some video of, in the desert, and they began unloading their bomb-making materials to assemble and test the bombs. They had everything they needed to make an operational bomb at that location, and they were subsequently arrested by the FBI before they could build a functional explosive device. Shortly after the defendants were taken into custody, the FBI executed multiple search warrants, including at the defendant's Southern California residence and other locations throughout the country. I'll highlight some of the items found during those searches over the weekend. For example, in Carroll's residence, law enforcement found multiple posters and materials associated with Turtle Island Liberation Front, including posters stating, quote, "Death to America, long live Turtle Island and Palestine," and quote, "Death to ICE, Turtle Island Liberation Front." In Page's residence, law enforcement found a copy of the detailed bomb attack plan. This case is another reminder about the dangers that radicalized Antifa-like groups pose to people, public safety, and the rule of law. Through the tireless work of our prosecutors in my office and our law enforcement partners, which you will hear from today, we disrupted this terror plot before buildings were demolished or innocent people were killed. But this is not the end of our work. My office is committed to extinguishing the far-left terror threats that we face and will continue to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The four defendants arrested will make their initial appearance this afternoon at the federal court in downtown Los Angeles. They are each considered innocent until proven guilty. I will now turn it over to the assistant director in charge of the FBI LA office, Akil Davis.
Good morning. Again, my name is Akil Davis. I'm the assistant director in charge of the FBI's Los Angeles division. As we're all aware, we've had a busy weekend in this country and abroad with bad news incidents one after another. Today, we are announcing a major victory in our collective effort to protect the American people. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force intercepted a scheme by members of a violent extremist group we believed determined to detonate explosives at multiple businesses on New Year's Eve. Last Friday, the FBI arrested four of those subjects near 29 Palms in San Bernardino County while they planned and rehearsed their attack. The four subjects are members of a radical faction of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, TILF, a violent, homegrown anti-government group. The subject arrested envisioned planting backpacks with improvised explosive devices to be detonated at multiple locations in Southern California, targeting U.S. companies. These bombs were to blow up at the same time on midnight this New Year's Eve. The plan stated that the IEDs would be complex pipe bombs. It included instructions on how to manufacture the bombs and contained guidance on how to avoid leaving evidence behind that could be traced back to them. Our investigation uncovered evidence in that the group would test the explosives in the desert. And we're going to show footage of that here in a second. We learned that the alleged co-conspirators had recently started acquiring precursor chemicals and other items necessary to accomplish this task. In recent days, the alleged co-conspirators discussed plans to travel to the desert on the 12th to detonate the explosives. Knowing this, the FBI's JTTF and the FBI Los Angeles Field Office staged multiple SWAT teams, special agent bomb technicians, our evidence response team, along with the FBI's elite hostage rescue team in the desert to disrupt this plan before any harm could occur. Because of this, we were able to disrupt their plan. All four group members were taken into custody without incident. The TILF Instagram account publicly posts content that advocates for violence against United States officials. A recent post called for a revolution and asked for supporters to organize and be ready. The FBI, as you have seen here, can also organize and be ready. We could not have accomplished these arrests without the exceptional assistance from our partners on the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I specifically want to thank the following agencies, as you see up here today: the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, the Los Angeles Police Department, the Palm Springs Police Department, along with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. I also want to recognize the following FBI field offices as this investigation crossed the entire country: the New Orleans Division, the Buffalo Division, Indianapolis Division, and the Boston Division, who, as you all know, have had their hands full this weekend. In fact, an additional was arrested by our partners at FBI New Orleans in support of this investigation. I will now turn it over to the Los Angeles Police Chief, Jim McDonald.
Well, thank you, and good morning, and we appreciate you being here today. Los Angeles Police Department is proud to stand alongside our federal, state, and local partners today to announce the arrest stemming from a coordinated domestic terror plot. The case underscores the persistent threat posed by extremist groups and individuals, as well as the critical need for law enforcement agencies to remain vigilant in protecting our communities. The successful disruption of this plot is a powerful testament to the strength of our unified response, driven by the collaboration and tireless efforts of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, along with our allied agencies. Together, we have prevented a potential tragedy and reaffirmed our shared commitment to safeguarding our communities. I want to personally thank the dedicated men and women from every agency involved. Their relentless work over the past...
All right, I'm going to pop in here real briefly. We'll go right back to that in just a moment. Just kind of give you some overview. But it started with the U.S. attorney in California who kind of opened this up by saying, you know, thanks to President Trump, we were able to go after this group. As many of you guys know, he did give clearance and did want to make it a top priority that the government started going after these left-wing terrorist groups. Now, so many of them have openly for years now been posting their violent threats online. We've seen videos, photos of them, and it looks like, according to those in California now, that because of that directive that was handed down from the White House, they were able to go out there and unfoil this potential or the foil this potential terror plot itself. Now, the goal here was to, according to law enforcement, was to put down these IEDs in five different locations all across Los Angeles. The group itself is called the Turtle Island Liberation Front. Apparently, it is a pro, this is according to the government, a pro-Palestinian group that is also sides with anti-law enforcement and anti-government views, as you heard there as well. They were also actively looking to target ICE agents. ICE agents. Now we're waiting. We're to keep this going for you guys because I want to see the footage that they claim that they have. There was some type of training footage that the FBI claims they were going to be showing us during this press conference. So for those who called in, I want to thank you for your time, but I want to make sure that we don't miss that video, of course. So let's jump back into that press conference that's going on right now in California that's detailing that terror plot that they claim that they have prevented from taking place on New Year's Eve. Take a listen.
Working closely with our law enforcement partners, have been working around the clock to verify information, identify targets, and piece together this plot that you've heard described. Their strong investigative efforts, sharp situational awareness, and rapid response ensured that this threat was stopped before it ever had a chance to be carried out. I'm incredibly proud of the professionalism and dedicated showing by the men and women who worked tirelessly to bring this threat to an end before it could cause harm to anybody in our community. To our community, I know hearing about these incidents like this can be unsettling, especially in the light of the recent Brown University mass shooting and the Sydney, Australia terrorist attack. But today serves as a powerful reminder that strong collaboration between federal, state, and local enforcement, law enforcement, can prevent violence before it occurs. As we enter the holiday season, a time when families and friends come together across traditions, cultures, and beliefs, this incident is a stark reminder of the importance of vigilance and to be prepared at all times. Vigils whose goal is to divide us, to instill fear, and to target the very diversity that makes our country strong. I want to be very clear, this what you see here, this investigative work, and the follow-up that's been done shows that they will not succeed. Our community's diversity is our strength, and protecting every member of our community is our primary duty. Whether you are celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's, or simply gathering with loved ones, you deserve to feel safe. We are committed to ensuring that safety today and every day. We remain dedicated to protecting our entire community through ongoing intelligence gathering and threat assessments, strengthening partnerships across all of our agencies, engaging with the public to promote awareness, vigilance, and resilience. And finally, I encourage everyone to stay alert, trust your instincts, and report suspicious activity. And as we always say in law enforcement, If you see something, read something, or say something, your awareness, your eyes and ears can help us protect the entire community, as we did in this incident. I will now introduce the police chief of the Palm Springs Police Department, Andy Mills.
Well, good morning. And first of all, thank you so much, Assistant Director Davis, for the spectacular job that the FBI did on this case. We were just in a very supportive role only, making sure that the FBI had what they needed in the desert to execute their mission. But on a larger perspective, I just want our community to know that this gives me hope. It gives me hope because of the unified effort of all of law enforcement, from the sheriff's office to LAPD, San Bernardino sheriffs, and the FBI, working together to make sure that people like this are removed from the community so they can be prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office, to make sure that all of us can live in peace. And this is what our mission is to make sure that there's hope in all of our communities. So thank you very much for the spectacular job that the A-team showed up and did.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that. Obviously, there's some disagreements amongst our agencies over things like immigration enforcement. But when it comes to other areas of law enforcement where it matters to keep the public safe, whether that's protecting the girls on Figueroa Street or the Palm Springs investigation, there is no gap in the cooperation between the federal government and local government. And we do thank the sheriff, the police chiefs for your valuable assistance. It would be very difficult for us to do a lot of what we
do. All right, I
want
to jump in here because we're up against a hard commercial break. And as many of you guys know, the Alex Jones Show starts next. Now, they'll be covering this extensively, of course, because, folks, it looks like, according to the federal government, they have just prevented a left-wing terror attack from taking place. We cover it all the time on this network. We're well aware of the terrorists that are on the left, of course, and exposing it is critical. Now, as you heard in the opening of all of this, this looks like this terror plot was only uncovered after President Trump gave a directive, and that was for the federal government to begin investigating these left-wing terrorist organizations. So according to them, that was prevented. Now it looks like they are playing the footage. They were claiming that there was a practice that was done. And keep in mind that they were trying their very best to conduct and create IEDs and explosive devices. And so that is what you're seeing on your screen right now. That is the practice that they were conducting, according to the federal government. Now, Alex is going to be covering that in just a few moments, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over. It's the last day to get your Christmas gifts in time over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over, 40% off site-wide for a limited time. Now is the time to get your Christmas gifts delivered straight to your door. That includes supplements, of course, and apparel. 40% off the entire store for a limited time. I'll see you here again tomorrow. The Alex Jones Show is next.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Info Warriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew on Coco. And a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Give a gift from the Alex Jones Store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones Store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with the Prussian, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.